Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right to our phone callers in just a moment. Do want to mention Metamorphosis for your gift to the ministry this month, a stunning DVD by our friends at Illustria Media. This is ultimate proof for the existence of a divine creator. It is some of the best work I've ever seen on the creation evolution issue that doesn't preach, but it does convict you when you see it. Even if you turn the sound down, you would get the picture and you would know there is no way that the evolutionary paradigm can explain the existence of butterflies. You have to see this DVD to believe it. It is stunning. Again, it is available all this month for your gift. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants, the number is always 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First up today is Ron, listening on Sirius XM 131 in Durant, Oklahoma. Hi, Ron.
Hi there, Hank. How are you?
Good. Good talking to you.
Good. Got a question for you about free will and heaven.
Yeah. Well, I think there are different ways in which people explain this, and to some degree it's a theological deduction, but I think that when you come to faith in Christ in this life, you are actually actualized in that faith, which is to say that the very one who justifies you is also the very one who sanctifies you, daily conforms you to the image of Jesus Christ, and one day will glorify you in eternity. As such, it is a wonderful thing to recognize in this life that day by day we love our Lord more and more as we get to know Him more intimately. And imagine how that will increase in eternity when we see Him face to face. When we have the experience of the disciples touched Him, they handled Him, they communed with Him, they learned from Him. We will have that experience in a new heaven and a new earth where indwells righteousness, paradise lost, becoming paradise restored. And so I don't think that there's any possibility whatsoever. The possibility is absolutely precluded that we would ever turn against our Savior in eternity, because He is, again, the one who justifies, sanctifies, and one day will glorify us, and we will forever be able not to sin. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mike, listening on Bot Radio in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Question. Is there anywhere in the Word of God that states or promises physical healing for the believer, physical healing?
Well, I would say the answer to that question is that physical healing is provided for through the atonement of Jesus Christ, but certainly is never guaranteed in this life. What is guaranteed is in this life you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Which is to say that we await a new order of things, a day in which there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, a day in which the old order of things will have been done away with and all things will become new. In the meantime, we recognize that Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life. Rather, it gives us something far greater, a way to overcome them, because our hope is in resurrection, that day in which there'll be a new order of things.
Right. Yeah, I'm currently debating this with a Word of Faith individual, And, you know, they're quick to go back to Mark 11 and talk about, you know, if we ask anything in his name. But I'm going back to the point where I don't see anywhere in the Word of God where it promises physical healing, other than James 5, appears to be a claim that you will be healed. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. And I've been researching how that faith is actually is it physical healing? Because the verse right after, it's talking about forgiveness of sins. So could you shed any light on that James 5 passage?
Yeah, we are called in James 5 to pray for the sick, just as we are called to present the gospel for salvation. Our prayer or presentation of the gospel doesn't save anyone, and it is obviously the Holy Spirit that changes the heart. And in the same way, our prayer for the sick is efficacious if it is in concert with the will of God. And we see that if you read James in context. For example, in James 4, which precedes James 5, James says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil." So again, everything is superseded by if it is the Lord's will. And this goes back to the passage that you referenced earlier, Mark chapter 11. If you look at the passage that's quoted, 11:23, which you referenced in the prologue to your question, it is superseded by Mark 11:22, which says, "Have faith in God." Certainly God can do anything, but we want to pray if it is your will. And why do we pray that way? Well, because God sees the panoply of our life. We see just a snapshot at a time. And the whole idea of Scripture is not that we're going to have a panacea in this life with ultimate health and wealth, but that we look forward to a day in which the old order of things will be done away with and all things will be restored to what paradise was before Adam and Eve fell into the lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death.
Very good. Hank, very good. Appreciate you. Shed a lot of light on things, and I appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Of course, one of the faith movement's favorite proof texts is the wonderfully true Isaiah 53:5, which says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Contrary to faith teachings, the Hebrew word here, rapha, more often than not refers to spiritual as opposed to physical healing. As such, when the prophet Jeremiah says, "Return, O faithless sons, I will heal, I will rapha your faithlessness," he's obviously not referring to physical healing. And Isaiah could hardly make it clear that he has spiritual healing in mind when he communicates that Messiah or Christ was to be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And then Peter builds on this understanding by writing, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Then he underscores this when he says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Peter's theme here could be stated more clearly. He says that Christ bore our sins, not our sicknesses. As such, Peter makes plain that the healing referred to in Isaiah 53:5 is spiritual, not physical. Now, what's interesting is if you go on and you read a little farther, Isaiah 53:5 does not have physical healing in view, but the verse immediately preceding it does speak of healing for the body, where Isaiah writes, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted." Now, not only is physical healing clear in that context, but it's also affirmed by the Gospels, where it's given a qualification. Matthew says, "When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick." And then, says Matthew, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." Therefore, the healing mentioned in Isaiah 53:4 was fulfilled during the healing ministry of Christ and consequently does not guarantee our healing today. And the danger, of course, with the Word of Faith movement is apparent when Word of Faith people take their theology into practice with absolutely disastrous consequences. I'll never forget when a man from San Marcos, Texas, called me. His name was Kirk. And he called in and he talked about his mom. A lump appeared in her breast, and she determined to deny the symptom, and thus she rejected medical treatment. And she was so committed to the faith message that even as the tumor continued to grow, she stood her ground. It wasn't until the tumor had become a weeping sore, consuming most of her breast, that she finally looked to medical attention, but then it was too late. So she died 6 months later. And even at the funeral, the faith followers lauded Kirk's mother for denying her symptoms. And he said, "At that point, it sickened me to watch people from her church come to the front and praise her for what she had done, for the tenacity of her faith. It was just mind-boggling." Well, it's equally mind-boggling that you have faith teachers who popularize the notion that symptoms like this are simply satanic subterfuge. And you have a new breed of faith teachers today who are virulent in teaching these kinds of errors. Joyce Meyer comes to mind. Her worldview is as convoluted as it's dangerous. She says it's vital for us to understand that it is illegal for Satan to put sickness on us, and there is no good reason to let him do it. It is illegal for Satan to kill Jesus, but he was able to do it. Why? Because Jesus allowed him. Why? She says, because Jesus was going to use Satan's illegal action to bring salvation to the world. So it's illegal for Satan to bring sickness on us. We must stand against it. And then she goes on to say, the moment we begin to recognize the symptoms of sickness, we need to stand against them. We need to resist them in the same way we would resist the temptation to sin. How? Well, by the pretext that by his stripes we are healed. And, of course, I've demonstrated that even a cursory look at context demonstrates beyond the shadow of a doubt that Isaiah had spiritual healing in mind. I don't know how he could have made it more obvious. This, again, entails what I say so often: we need to learn to read the Bible for all it's worth, because if we do not, we're going to fall for the pretext of faith teachers who are distorting the Word of God in dangerous fashion. I've written about this in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, where I expose darkness to light, and I point us back to a Christianity centered in Jesus Christ. Never forget that the Apostle Paul warned, even from among your own number, Men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. Christianity in Crisis 21st Century is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. You can order via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or simply pick up the telephone, talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions answered right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, your prayers, your support are necessary, are vital to continue a ministry making a difference for time and for eternity.
Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creatures. With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, and astonishing navigational systems, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer. Order Metamorphosis on DVD for your gift to the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back in just a few moments. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org. or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Nancy Piercy addresses how the flawed worldview of secularism fails to explain human life and experience, how the hookup culture falls short of its promised liberation, and why biblical morality is not arbitrary in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that preceded the fall. Other topics include a summary critique of Sam Harris's The Moral Landscape, What the Walking Dead Can Teach Pro-Lifers, a review of the film The Tree of Life, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Autograph's latest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, is the third volume in a trilogy dealing with the three great apologetic issues: origins, resurrection, and the reliability of Scripture. In the first book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, Hank shows that naturalistic evolution is much more than a theory about man's origins. It is a comprehensive worldview that determines how you live your life. In Resurrection, he demonstrates that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the capstone in the arch of Christianity and the hope of the believer. Without resurrection, there would be no Christianity. Now, in Has God Spoken, Hank validates the supreme authority of sacred scripture. Through memorable acronyms, he refutes modern skeptics and equips you with the assurance that God has indeed spoken. You can order this trilogy in a special package from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or order online from our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Harvey, listening on Sirius XM 131 in Oregon. Hi, Harvey.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My wife has been discussing John Hagee, and I said, you know, I don't think Hank Hanegraaff endorses him and it doesn't agree with his teaching.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, he shamelessly promotes the pretext of a prosperous Jesus. He says that Jesus lived in a mansion. He says that if you go to John 1:38, you see that Jesus turned to those who were following him and said, come with me. And they said, where dwellest thou? And he said, come and see. And Jesus took the crowd home with him to stay in his house. Then, says Hagee, that meant it was a big house. Then he says Jesus wore designer clothes. He had a designer robe. And then he goes on to say, when you have to have a secretary treasurer to carry the excess money, you're not poor. Well, as I demonstrated in my book, Christianity in Christ's 21st Century, the notion of Jesus with a Rolex is the stuff of myths and fables. And in fact, the crowd Jesus allegedly invited to stay with him in his mansion is the mere figment of Hagee's overactive imagination. And the very passage that he cites makes it clear that far from inviting a crowd to join him in a mansion, Jesus invited two people to see where he was staying. And in the same way, the notion that the soldiers gambled for Christ's garment because it was so valuable is completely ad hoc. In reality, they cast lots for the garment of Christ, not only that the scripture might be fulfilled, but because, as common sense would dictate, one garment divided into four rags would have been of little value to them. But even if we suppose that this was an expensive undergarment, there's no warrant to presume that the closet of Christ's mansion was replete with more of the same. Nor can we presume that because the disciples had a money bag that Jesus was a multi-million dollar Messiah. I mean, instead, the message of Jesus is consistent and clear. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. But this is not the end of it. I mean, if you look at his teachings, they're just shameful, quite frankly.
May I interrupt a second?
Yeah.
Because I'm not always home on the weekends, and so we don't always. So she doesn't always attend the church that we. But isn't he on the TBN network on Sunday mornings?
Yeah, he's on the TBN network all over the place.
Okay, I just want to make sure before I was getting. She was getting her information because she says, "Yeah, I do my Bible study, and then I listen to John Hagee, and boy, it just really is right on." And I thought, oh, no, I don't think it is.
No, it really isn't. He is a very dangerous teacher. You need to test what he says in light of Scripture, then hold fast to that which is good. And if you don't have a good working knowledge of Scripture, you can end up with all kinds of errors, which are pretty tragic. John Hagee, for example, places more emphasis on returning Jewish pilgrims to the land than in turning Jewish people to the Lord. He says in one of his statements, let's put an end to this Christian chatter that all Jews are lost and can't be in the will of God until they convert to Christianity. And then he takes the onus off the Jewish community, places on the Jewish Christ. He says this, and I'm looking at this quote right now, just dragged it up out of one of my books. If Jesus refused by his words or actions to claim to be Messiah to the Jews, then, says Hagee, how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered?
Right.
So according to Hagee, the Jewish people wanted Jesus to be their Messiah, but he was absolutely refusing to be their Messiah. Then he says the Jews were not rejecting Jesus as Messiah. It was Jesus who was refusing to be Messiah to the Jews. Of course, anyone who has read through the Gospels even once knows that Jesus emphatically contradicted this notion. I mean, who can forget the emotionally charged words of Christ as he's walking away from the temple? He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Or you can look at John where he says he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It was the Jews who rejected Jesus, not the other way around. So this is a guy who very commonly distorts the word of God and teaches all kinds of error in the process, which is very, very dangerous, particularly if you're not well grounded.
Well, this is very good. I really appreciate your answer and you taking the time to go over this with me.
Well, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. I have written about this and referenced John Hagee in a number of different places, including Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and my book, The Apocalypse Code, where I note that those who dare question the notion of a pre-tribulational rapture followed by a Holy Land Holocaust in which the vast majority of Jews perish are shouted down as peddlers of godless heresy by people like John Hagee. In fact, the ultimate pejorative phrase has been coined for those who deny the heart of dispensational eschatology. They're dubbed replacement theologians and then are said to be guilty of spreading the message of anti-Semitism. So John Hagee bluntly in his denunciation says replacement theologians are now carrying Hitler's anointing and his message. And of course, at best, we can say that this is one of those issues we can debate vigorously. We don't have to divide over, but to use this kind of invective is disturbing, to say the least. And I would add, Hagee is the one who is the replacement theologian. He believes Israel will replace the church as the focus of God's plan during the tribulation. And I would say a much better way of looking at this is that the church has not replaced Israel. The church is part of true Israel. Read 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. More could be said, but again, I've written about this in various places, including the Apocalypse Code, which now is available in two different ways. Along with the book, you can get it as an MP3 disc or an MP3 download. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dr. Ron, he's listening in Carthage, New York. Hi, Ron.
Hank, I enjoy your program very much.
Thank you.
So my question is about Mary. She was the chosen one and had Jesus as a virgin. My question is, therefore, if she married Joseph shortly afterwards, and she had other children, did she remain a virgin? We have a lot of people say that she was. Always, once a virgin, always a virgin. I don't know if that's true. You have that answer, maybe.
Yeah, I think if you look at Matthew 1:25, it implies that Mary did have sexual relations with Joseph after Jesus was born. And if you look at Matthew 13:55, you have a clear indication that Mary and Joseph did have other children. So I don't think you can make a strong case for the perpetual virginity of Mary.
Well, I have people that tell me that, and I just want to know which chapter verse again, Matthew?
A couple different places. I think you have the implication in Matthew chapter 1, and then you have a clear indication in Matthew 13 that Mary and Joseph did have other children.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that.
Well, appreciate your call.
Oh, I appreciate your answer.
You got
Thank
it.
You.
And, of course, as to the perpetual virginity of Mary, many, of course not all, early church fathers seem to have believed Mary remained perpetually a virgin, as did reformers such as Luther. So this is something that people have debated vigorously over the years. It's not an issue that ultimately we should divide over. We have to be committed to the virgin conception of Jesus Christ, but we do not have to be united in terms of the perpetual virginity of Mary. I would disagree with those that think that Mary was perpetually a virgin. Augustine speaks of the virgin birth in a very literal sense, in that were a doctor to examine Mary after having given birth to Jesus, she still would have appeared to be a virgin. Jesus was birthed as light passes through glass. The glass is not disturbed. But again, this is something we could debate vigorously. We don't ultimately have to divide over. Again, the virgin conception, however, is a different thing. There's no direct reference in Scripture to the perpetual virginity of Mary. There are clear references to Jesus' brothers and sisters, as I point out, and Adelphos is a normal word for blood brother. It's not a word that we should relegate to a cousin or something like that. We have written about this in various places. You can check this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, where you can find all kinds of information that you can trust. Remember, one of the things I emphasize in answering that question is that in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. There are many things that I disagree with Roman Catholics on. One of those is purgatory. And the reason I disagree with Roman Catholics on the concept of purgatory is because I think that drawn to its logical conclusion, it denies the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross for all sins, past, present, and future. And one of the differences that I would underscore with those that hold to a doctrine like purgatory is that it comes not from Scripture, but rather, as the New Catholic Encyclopedia underscores, it comes from the tradition of the fathers. And that is one of the issues at hand. Do we ride one horse, sola scriptura, Scripture alone, the final court of arbitration for faith and practice, or do we ride two horses, faith in the Word of God, sola scriptura, and tradition on the other hand? Traditions aren't bad, but they should be tested from my perspective in light of Scripture, and then we hold fast to that which is good. That's why I often say on the show, the Bible is the final court of arbitration for both faith and practice. Information that I reference on the broadcast is always available in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. That is a safe zone because we vet the information for you. You can trust it, rely on it, and be equipped, exhorted, and edified as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be right back with more.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you with the tools to defend your faith. In the cover article of the current issue of the journal, Hank Hanegraaff reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context to apply them to Jesus Christ. While many Christians have stumbled over this objection, the answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today and find the key that unlocks messianic prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this.
Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creations. Their wonder and mystery has captivated children and scientists alike. With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, as well as a navigational system, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, the beauty and design of butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer. Order Metamorphosis on DVD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. At the Christian Research Institute, we count every gift from God's people as a special blessing. To say thank you for your support, we'd like to send you Hank's newest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, to give you assurance in the reliability of God's Word. In Has God Spoken? Hank counters the contentions of Bible critics and shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures does not stem from wishful thinking. Rather, belief logically flows from an honest examination of the evidence. When you join the Bible Answer Man support team or give a gift of $100 or more, you'll receive a personalized edition of Has God Spoken? To donate, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Earlier today, I was recording the audio version of my new book, Has God Spoken? And I was in a section where we were dealing with resurrection prophecies, and I was struck with Daniel, who likens the resurrection of saints to the glory of the stars, when he says, "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Daniel speaks there not of the disembodied state that follows death, but the bodily resurrection that follows the disembodied state. We're not promised a mere resuscitation in a veil of tears, but a majestic resurrection in a new order of things in which we will shine like the brightness of the starry hosts, the rock cut out in Daniel, but not by human hands. Jesus Christ, of course, is referenced here, will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all the kingdoms of the earth and bring them to an end, but itself will endure forever. The resurrection that Daniel prophesied has not as yet been fulfilled. The prophetic star in the constellation of biblical prophecy, however, provides the earnest for all who will one day shine like the brightness of the heavens. Jesus Christ, the antitype, who fulfills the entire mosaic of Old Testament resurrection prophecies, left no doubt about his coming resurrection when he echoed the words of Daniel in saying, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." That's a sobering thought. Jesus makes clear, as does Daniel, that there are only two kinds of people in the world: those who will spend an eternity with the Savior, and those who forever will be set apart from his goodness and his glory forever and ever and ever. That is a sobering thought. So when we think about building a cumulative case for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the certainty of our own resurrection, do not forget that God has left you here for a purpose, to make a difference in the lives of real people, not just for time, but also for eternity. That's why we do the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's why we equip God's people to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, with gentleness and with respect. It's why we ask you to support this ministry. It's why when you support this ministry, we put tools in your hands, like my book, Has God Spoken? Or like our September appeal, Metamorphosis. We deal with the great apologetic issues by which we can know that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ is God, that he demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of resurrection, and that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Again, a reminder that for your gift, Metamorphosis, we'll send it out to you, the DVD, Ultimate Proof for the Existence of a Divine Creator, or my book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Divine Inspiration of Scripture. Check it all out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or just write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Brian, listening on Sirius XM 131 in California. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. Appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
My pleasure.
So I was raised Catholic, got saved in high school, and 30-odd years later, still not Catholic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a dear friend who has been very, very active in the Catholic faith. He's a knight of one of their orders. And we've been sharing back and forth concerns that I have about biblical Christianity versus Catholic doctrine. I've gone through the entire catechism that Pope John Paul II authorized in English. And, you know, time and time again, they're the capital T traditions, these things that are not the essentials, as you said, but the other portions of their faith that we can debate and talk about. And so my question for you is twofold. First, if you know of a good resource that really clearly shows those capital T traditions and their lack of biblical source, for example, Mary's Ascension or praying to the saints or praying for the dead or the Eucharist being transubstantiated or the validity of the papacy, things like that, versus the biblical position where none of those are supported. And the second point is, or question, is it a viable use of time? He's a fully Jesus-believing, saved, loving, wonderful man. I'm not trying to knock him out of his faith or anything like that, but instead enlighten him. But I don't want to do that if it's seen as anything other than charitable, and he sees it for that. But I'd like to get your position on it, because I'm not out to convert all Catholics or anything like that. I would just like to know if it's seen as viable in your perspective.
Yeah, well, I think that one of the operative phrases that you allude to is that we want to do this in agreeable fashion to reach as opposed to repel. And a book that I found very helpful over the years is a book written by Norman Geisler and Ralph McKenzie in this regard. It's titled Roman Catholics and Evangelicals, Agreements and Differences. And I think in a charitable, even-handed fashion, does lay those agreements and differences out so that you end up having a conversation that doesn't, as I say, repel, but rather reaches in a winsome fashion. So I think this is a helpful resource. But I think you put your finger on the issue, and you're dealing with the real substance when you look at the difference between tradition and sola scriptura. In contrast to the evangelical position that asserts that the canon of Scripture alone is the supreme standard and is the authority for all Christians, you have the tradition of the fathers. And as I said earlier in the broadcast today, as a result of that, Catholics ride two horses. But you're also bringing up a very important point, and that is that Roman Catholics share in common with evangelicals such things as the inspiration of Scripture, the Trinity, the virgin birth, Christ's atonement, and his bodily resurrection. So with regard to these essentials of the historic Christian faith, evangelicals have more in common with conservative Roman Catholics than they do with liberal Protestants who deny the supernatural. So I think that's one thing that should be kept in mind. But there are a lot of things that I have a great difficulty with, drawn to their logical conclusion. Again, things like purgatory do deny the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. And I don't think that when the Pope speaks ex cathedra from the chair, that this should be considered to be equal weight to what the Bible says. I think that all of us must be tested in light of Scripture, and then we hold fast to that which is good. I also, and I've mentioned this on this broadcast many times, I disagree with official Roman Catholic soteriology, where they say that we're saved by God's grace, but that grace produces in the life of the believer faith infused with works, and the works are meritorious. Now, I don't think that we should relegate that to a crass system of works righteousness, because it's not. But on the other hand, we must also recognize that many Catholics, just like many liberal Protestants, and even many Protestants in general, don't really understand that we are saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone. And so we need to communicate that message clearly, that there's nothing in my hand to bring simply to the cross to cling, that Jesus paid it all to him I owe. So I think soteriology becomes an important discussion, but oftentimes mischaracterized on the part of Protestants, and that's, again, why I do recommend the resource Roman Catholics and Evangelicals.
Okay, great. One last real quick question.
Sure.
Given transubstantiation and now after Vatican II saying it's not a reenactment of the bloody sacrifice, but instead it's a memorial, it just brings it current kind of a thing, would you celebrate a Catholic Mass? Would you take Eucharist at a Catholic service?
Well, I wouldn't personally, because I don't agree with transubstantiation even in a different permutation than historically speaking. I don't hold to the Eucharist in the sense that the Catholic communicates transubstantiation in its various permutations.
You've done me a great service. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your calls are answered right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. I want to once again underscore the need for people to stand with us, particularly this month, sometimes a difficult month. We want to make sure that we can continue to minister effectively, and that requires you as a partner to this ministry. We have a team in-house. We need you as well to stand with this team, upholding our hands, as it were, as we minister the gospel around the world in so many different ways, the ministry bearing abundant, abiding fruit. And we ask you to stand with us in that process. And the way you can do that is joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. When you do that, I will send you a personalized copy of my book, Has God Spoken? Or for that matter, any other book that you request, including the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. So when you join the monthly support team, I'd love to personalize a copy of one of my books as my way of saying thank you for standing with this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can check that out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write and join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, you can tell my excitement about Metamorphosis. That's also available for your gift this month. When I find a resource that really hits the sweet spot, I get excited about it. I want to share it with you. I find a way of putting it in your hands because I want to equip you and your family to be change agents. So often we become nothing more than microcosms of the culture. We need to become change agents, which is to say we need to be salt and light, because without us being salt and light, the culture will continue to devolve. Again, check out Metamorphosis on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Out of time for this edition of the broadcast. We look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of your questions.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet or to donate to the ministry, just log on to equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to help you. To call a resource consultant, dial 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.